Blog Talk Radio.
Sisters, we are back. Oh yes, thank y'all that we are back again. Back again for another episode, another very precious episode. Hidden Gospel, Hidden Gospel Reveal. And I'm your host, Edim Yah of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. So very thankful to the Most High for the opportunity to be back with you here again. For the Most High has told me that I have for him some very important things for him to do. And he told me because of what I must do, he said I had a crew indeed some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But he told me that in doing for him that which he has asked of me, I would have his protection and his guidance. For this, my brothers and sisters, I am indeed utmost thankful. For the Most High has told me, yes, indeed he's told me, and I must tell you things. Yes, indeed, I must tell you things. That men have done everything they could since the dawn of human fall, to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and if they could, my brothers and sisters, to destroy. I can only tell you that since the dawn of human fall, man's falling away from the will of one. The nations, the rulers, your leaders, my brothers and sisters, over the course of ages, have repetitively sought to exalt themselves. My brothers and sisters sought to exalt themselves without the pure and perfect remembrance of what Yah from the beginning has declared. Do I need to repeat that? Since the dawn of human fall, men have sought to pridefully exalt themselves, not seeking the full remembrance of all the Most High declared from the beginning. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, the scriptures make it plain. Since the fall, my brothers and sisters, this world has not been one. Since the fall, my brothers and sisters, this world has not been consecrated in the full remembrance of all that the Most High declared from the beginning. Scriptures speak of a time, however, when this gloriousness shall be. I will even go as far as to tell you, my brothers and sisters, the early church was forewarned and admonished. Prepare for that very precious time. Quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, if we are going to be honest, according to the course of history, we understand that not even the early church was ever, in all things, collectively, truly one. There were always, I regret to say, some whose diligence was not quite up to snuff to assure the oneness of all who believe. Now, when I say early church, please understand me. There is a difference between those whom the Most High has called himself and those who truly of the faith and the expectation of the judgment of one were diligent. Those who were diligent unto this fullness, yes, my brothers and sisters, they who came after the calling of the Most High, avowed truly unto the Most High, who because of their obedience remained under the faith, yes, there were those who did indeed overcome unto the oneness that is required of the saints. But when you sit back and you talk about the varied ideologies that because of the constraints of the various rulers among the nations, many not being entirely true to what the apostles taught, I would go as far as to say, my brothers and sisters, when we look around and we see the multitude of differences that exist in the world today, it is evident that what has been taught has not been true to the pure, perfect word and will of the one as was declared from on high. Messiah said, I am from above, not from below. He said, you are of this world. He said, I am not of this world. This is what he said to those who still yet trusted after the varied rulership of this world. And in trust after the varied rulership of this world, he told them, unless they believe that he was the one who was sent for the express purpose to declare the consecrated pure word. Lest they believe his word. He said they were dying to sins. What he was saying to them, my brothers and my sisters, what he was saying to them is that not to have the pure, perfect word upon its sure foundation, not to have what is the preservation of that conscience, my brothers and sisters, is to be in bondage, is to be subject to the doctrines and ideals of another. Can you imagine, my brothers and sisters, what it would be like if everybody's 2 cents, not even worth that much ideas, were actually allowable in the course of the faith. Father, help us. Where would be a covenant at all? I can only tell you, if you take the holy word and you twist it out of context, add something to it, take something away from it that is not consistent with the initial thought, what you have is not a covenant, my brothers and sisters. It's not what is consecrated unto Yah. It's not the remembrance of his conscience. For in fact, my brothers and sisters, what you have in such an occasion is the misconceits of another. A doctrine, an ideology, a belief system, which the Most High can never declare as true to himself. I can only tell you that all the apostolic writers, I said all the apostolic writers, Shaul, who they call Paul, Judah, who they call Jew, Jacob, who they call James. Boy, I tell you, you know, Western mind could really do some messing around with people's names. Find it amazing. Oftentimes they did these things, hey, to cater to ideas and what in terms of what names and titles meant to the polytheist Western mind, inconsiderate of an idea about maintaining the consistency of what the Most High declared, or what the Most High calls a thing it must become. Kepha, who they call Peter. All of them, my brothers and sisters, warned and wrote to the congregation, admonishing the congregations, that they must all have the common expectation of the will of the one, even the one awaited and promised king and judge. I'll give you an example of what I mean. Apostle Shaul, the 14th chapter. We really could go all the way back to the 9th. We really go all the way back to the 1st, but I'm going to go ahead and start, and prayerfully, many will understand what I'm saying by what I'm saying in the 14th chapter, since this 14th verses, verse 14th chapter begins this way. He said, "Bear the burdens of the weak, but not unto doubtful disputation." Some texts say it this way. Bear the burdens of the weak, but not unto wavering in your reasoning. What was he talking about? The apostle, Jacob, who we call James, warned the 12 tribes scattered among the Gentiles. I said he warned the 12 tribes scattered among the Gentiles. That if in any way they forgot this hope of the promise, let me see if I can explain it to you. He said the 12 tribes scattered among the Gentiles, he admonished them that amidst a world of provocations, scattered among the Gentiles, lacking wisdom, he admonished them that their patience, hear me, my brothers and sisters, their patience. How about their perseverance, bearing the burdens of what is required to help that all might have a chance to grow? He said, bear the burdens of the weak, the apostle Shaul said. Paul, Romans 14. Jacob, who they call James, said and admonished the congregations, though you might be scattered among Gentiles, I repeat, though you may be scattered among Gentiles, after a multitude of provocations, there was a provocation that comes as a result of men not hearkening to the fullness or not knowing yet the fullness of what is divine will and purpose. He said to them, if you're scattered among those without wisdom, still recognizing your purpose to help men grow, realize that your perseverance, your patience, and your faith, knowing that all will be judged by one who sits upon the judgment seat. He said, know that you must ask Yah. I didn't say men and their differences. I said, you know, you must ask Yah for the exceeding word that we all might reason together. And he said, be careful, in fact, that you do not waver. Do not present a mockery, if you will, a misrepresentation of the faith. Because he said, the double-minded man who wavers is unstable in all his ways. And he said, let not that double-minded man think he will receive anything from the Most High. What is being said here? I'm just talking about what's in Romans 14 and the first chapter of Yahweh. Understand, we have to realize something. It requires patience to help men grow unto the knowledge of the faith. I thank the Most High for his patience with me. Do you expect a baby, when everybody is running, to be able to jump up right quick and run? No, that's not expected of the babe at first. But with time, much more is expected of the child, especially one who has been trained in the faith for some time. Much more is expected of him. But the apostles admonished the people, knowing that numbers were being added to the congregations, that the end result of their patience, the perseverance, and the faith must be unto a perfect work. None wavering, realizing that there's still one judge, one judgment, one true and living gospel. Let me repeat that. Romans 14 spoke about the admonishment that was given to they of the early church. Bear the burdens of the weak, but not unto doubtful disputations. Some texts read it this way. Bear the burdens of the weak, but not unto wavering. I said, not unto wavering in your reasoning. Meaning, by no means should the ideal of the immature become a dictate to the church. Reason being is because all will ultimately have one judge. They all the apostles, spoke of that expectation. And it was that expectation. Pray you will hear me, that call men to the church, that call men to the house of faith, that call men to the expectation of the one they call the Kurdi, after which the church and even the faith itself was named, knowing that it will not be after the rule of another. I repeat, it will not be after the rule or the divisive designs of another, that any man should be counted worthy unto the kingdom. I would have you, my brothers and sisters, to comprehend the meaning of this. Again, Jacob, who they call James, said, if you're scattered among the nations, amidst the multitude of provocations, men wavering in their reasoning. Refusing to acknowledge that there's but one standard. He said to them, your patience, your perseverance in the faith, even that others might grow. I hope, pray you will understand it, because if you're scattered among a multitude of nations, lacking knowledge, ask of Yah. Still pursue the absolute. Because a double-minded man who wavers, he says, is unstable in all his ways. Let him not think he'll receive anything from the Most High. Meaning, that the end result of your faith, my brothers and sisters, must be unto a divine absolute. In effect, it's saying the same thing that Galatians said. The first chapter. There's only one gospel that is true to the designs of the one king. Everything else, my brothers and sisters, is a curse. How is it that men have seen all these diverse doctrines? Find it amazing. The men have seen all these diverse doctrines and actually somehow have believed that after this diversity they collectively call the faith after the designs of men. Men have desired to believe that these could be unto their salvation. What divides the world cannot be what heals it. A multitude of diversely contentious precepts must be false doctrine, my brothers and sisters. A lie cannot deliver men from the truth. I want you to consider, my brothers and my sisters, I want you to consider the nature of the truth that must be understood in this time. Most High told me directly, if I could believe, if I could believe, he told me, that a multitude of contentions we see in this world are the work of his spirit. He told me I could not be a disciple unto him, meaning that to be a disciple unto him, did you hear me? To be a disciple unto him, taught by him, demand that you believe there's an absolute, knowing that only he can reveal it. That demands, my brothers and sisters, a seriously intent sharpness of focus. Did you hear me? A seriously intense sharpness of focus. Realizing that by no means can your multitude of leaders and all their differences having wavered against the faith and compelling others to do the same thing. Did you hear me, my brothers and sisters? They cannot possibly be unto the stability or the consecration unto the holy name of a people. I titled this show pretty strongly. And those of you who know Revelation 6, particularly 12 through the, the 6th chapter of Revelation, 12 verses, reading on and way through most of the rest of the book of Revelation, it's pretty plain. The kings and the rulers and the popes, and the pastors, to compel people to believe that they somehow could, as they've said, pray them out of purgatory, deliver epitaphs that keep men out of hell. Cause men because they were born under certain various governing rules to think that they were immediately born again under the grace of Yah for being under the rule of these various kings. Well, my brothers and sisters, scriptures talk about these rulers, how they've been treacherous against the righteousness of Yah. The scripture says they will be running for cover, saying, hide us from the face of the Lamb and him who sits upon the throne. Why shall they be found running for cover? Because they've been treacherous, my brothers and sisters, and have not taught the masses what they should have been taught. And if anyone even to take a title to call themselves a leader and not seek to teach the fullness of what the Most High declared must be taught, not seeking to prepare the people for the coming of the one awaited judge who will bring about the restitution, restoration, refreshing, remembrance of all things, is a treacherous thing, my brothers and sisters, against the covenant promise that was declared from the beginning. But you know, it's an amazing thing. The scriptures talk about the one called Kurdi, the one called Shiloh. And quite frankly, you need to ask a question. What advantage or what motivation do rulers who are selfishly ambitious have for even beginning to admonish the people that when the true king comes, he will reprove them all to the extent of declaring all their polluted and partial doctrines unworthy? They had no motivation to tell you the truth. Not if they were going to cause you to believe that their partiality was enough to save you. You need to think about it, my brothers and sisters. Like I said, Shaul warned the people that in their efforts to bear the burdens of the weak, that men might mature, by no means should they waver in their reasoning. Yehuda, who they called Jew, said that men will pervert the grace of Yah. Hey, how about the word that the Most High gives that you might not be exploited by any pretender or pretense? That by the grace of Yah, the scriptures relate that a man exceeds the diverse contentions of man, which are innately lawless rather than lawful, because you don't have faith in the Most High until more to the diverse contentions. He warned that men, however, would pervert the grace of Yah, making license for all their differences to the extent that the Most High calls it unbelief, not faith. Wavering from the faith is debate and doubt, exactly what was warned against by the Apostle Jacob. And you go on and it even goes as far as to say the Messiah in his appearing will reprove and convince all these rulers, in fact, all men who have followed them, as well for every ungodly word and doctrine they have spoken. Again, all the apostles preached and wrote and admonished the congregations with the expectation of one righteous judge who will judge all. So where's the pride of man after their own conceits? There should be none. Go forward, my brothers and sisters, because the Most High told me that anything that's in my head or anybody else's head, for that matter, that it would be worth anything, he had to put it there. Have men just presumed that what they have is worthy? I even go as far as the Messiah, let me tell you what Messiah said. He said, many things I long to tell you, but you can't grasp them yet. He said, to the Comforter, the Holy Spirit has come. Well, in another way, the Apostle Shaul said, that which is men call the foolishness of Yah is just simply wiser than men. You talk about things that are not easily understood because they are spiritually discerned. Isn't it amazing that most people rather believe that what they have believed after their carnality and so much strife and divisions, they prefer to believe that what they had was spiritual. In fact, my brothers and sisters, it takes faith to understand that there's a truth in the mind of the Most High that requires the gift of Yah to rightly understand. But there are those, my brothers and sisters, who would tell you, and in fact I've heard some, who say, well, it's written in the book, we all can understand it. Truly? Did you think about this? 45,000 denominations? Different doctrinal beliefs, parlaying them upon the people. Even though the scripture said, whoever speaks such vain words, idle words, will give account for in the judgment. They all have 45,000 different denominations teaching something a little bit different. And they sit back and turn around and say that the end result of this is the work of the one spirit. Think again. To even say so is a blasphemous lie against the very nature of the Most High. And frankly, what we see in appearance in this world, is from the time that men get here, is an illusion predisposing men to call the Most High a liar, to accept all manner of misrepresentation against his name, to take away from him the common sense you're born with, so at the end of the day, you are prepared to be exploited by the insensitivities and inconsistencies and indiscretions of carnal conscience. The apostle they called Peter, his name was Kephas, who they called Peter. He said the same thing. He said, remember that the long suffering in the Most High is your salvation. He warned that you must be diligent if you want to make your election sure, meaning that indiscretion does not reap the reward of those who are called the chosen people. Man must be diligent unto absolute discretion. The words are not a private interpretation. That means to understand them, you have to have a gift from above. A gift that Messiah said only if you preserve, keep, and guard the constancy of his conscience and his commands, which you be entitled unto continually being taught, that he might reveal more of himself, all that is necessary unto you. Well, I look at the apostle's words, and I, knowing what prophecy he was mentioning in the first part of 2 Kephas, third chapter, knowing that he was talking about Isaiah 19, again, this apostle was still talking about an absolute word that will reprove and prove foolish all the diverse doctrines of all the varied kings, rulers, pastors, priests, rabbis of this world. I think it's truly amazing that most have not really truly in all things considered what the prophecies mean when they talk about Messiah as a priest after the order of Melchizedek, meaning that he's, well, let's just say his standard will be that by which all should be judged in the judgment. I think about it. Men have believed in their various times that the various popes had the power to pray them out of hell or purgatory. What? While men walked in all manner of error, they said the popes, the priests, somehow had the power to pray them out from what is the result of mass misallegiance? And men have actually believed, because a bunch of pastors delivered an epitaph, they were paid to deliver as a eulogy. And they believe that because these pastors prayed for various souls, that they might be found worthy unto the kingdom of Yah. You ever stop to consider, my brothers and sisters, your popes and your pastors haven't agreed? How shall their words be worthy unto a holy kingdom? How shall they be counted worthy, my brothers and sisters, as having been those who preached the gospel of the one peace? The very divisions that we see in the world today are evidence of man's resistance, rebellion, unbelief, infidelity against the pure, perfect word that is from above. I can only tell you that Shaul, who they call Paul, said there's only, really in fact said there's only one gospel, only one word that is true unto the hope and the peace of the king. He said, if any man preach any other gospel, any other word, as if it was his word, the word of the king, the word from above, the word that is the result of the admonishment and discipline of the Holy Spirit, he said, if any man preach any other word, let him be accursed. I see nothing else but a bunch of curses. I can think of so much scripture that these men who men have aspired to call rulers have completely ignored because they saw these truths as occupational hazards to their occupation. Hazards to their occupation, because their occupation is to flatter men in their inconsistencies, in their carnality. And my brothers and sisters, yes, even in their hypocritical treachery against the faith, their slothfulness, their indiligence, their dereliction of duty. You were told that your righteousness must exceed that of these rulers and their multitude of differences, else you should not enter the kingdom of Yah. Why? When Messiah comes, isn't it not certain that he will call his people from the midst of all the corruptions of all the nations? How do men believe that trusting in these variances, they could be called faithful? Doesn't even make any sense. How should men believe after all these differences that they could be delivered true to the faith of one? All the apostles preached and wrote and admonished the congregation with the expectation of one judge. Shaul said in the 14th chapter, Messiah gave his life, died, and rose to be Lord. I said, the one Lord, one judge of both the dead and the living. But men have called themselves substitutes, vicars, popes, for the Son of Yah, as if they could stand in his place and decide who will be the judge, or who will be judges, or who will be acceptable under the kingdom of Yah. My brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. Nobody brings forth the Savior but the Most High, who is the utmost Savior. I would have you to know, my brothers and sisters, that these pastors teach all something different. It's not the work of the comforter that is known as the Spirit of Yah. And since they have obviously spoken well out of place, out of turn, and disrespectfully, and the scripture says for all those who do that, they should give account of it in the judgment. What makes them or anyone else think that they shall escape what the scripture calls the wrath of the Lamb, the wrath of the King? Like I said, all the apostles admonished the believers, they all must seek full maturation of faith. But in doing so, it is the duty of both the teachers and the believers that they all be diligent toward one course, or else men's vow has been in vain. If you don't all seek to be of the same pure, complete faith, your oath is in vain and counts for nothing. You don't swear unto part of what the holy name is, but all. Many have not understand still the concept of Yah is the same thing as saying Yah with Yah is Yah. Meaning that you make an oath in his name, you make an oath to all that he has declared for the fruition of all who will call upon his name unto one accord. Anything else, my brothers and sisters, is a breaking of covenant and a break of the oath. The Shema command, love the Most High with all your mind, heart, soul, and might. Love all that is his will. All that he is with all your mind, heart, soul, and might. And love your neighbor as yourself, meaning love that all might come to the same fruition. Any other kind of contentiousness, competition, irrationality, is defiance against the covenant. And whoever, my brothers and sisters, does not understand the need for that humility has no covenant with Yah at all. If any man preach any other gospel, any other word, causing another to be turned aside, he reaps the curse of having been a curse against his brother. My brothers and sisters, speaking for the Most High is a very, very serious thing. That by no man should be taken for granted, and no man should take presumptuously, because in doing so, he not only destroys himself, but many. and the blood of many being upon their heads.
Well,
sometimes I sit back and think about what, for instance, ancient Rome did. Could go a lot further back. But because of what ancient Rome did, despising the absolution that was sent forth to the nations, the Messiah gave his life for men to receive, I see as having resulted in a multitude of wars, all the souls that never attained to fruition. I think sometimes, my brothers and sisters, about how the scriptures talk about this mother of harlots. And we talk about going back to Roman times and beyond. They say, in her was found the blood of all the prophets and all those who were slain on earth. Do you know how much blood is on the head of an institution that resists the knowledge of Yah? Or compel men to be flattered, to think no need, to seek any further than the blindness and misrepresentation that they see? Do you really believe, my brothers and sisters, those who have made it their profession to cater to the dissuasions of men will be able to save themselves from the Savior who comes to fully expose them, that men might be converted and at last delivered? And according to what I see in the prophecies, my brothers and sisters, and it means your leaders really don't care and don't believe themselves, or else they would know to seek far better. It's a fool who can believe that the law of the Most High, my brothers and sisters, is indiscriminate after a multitude of diverse ideas. That must be lawlessness. Scripture says, if any man consider himself wise after this world. How about the multitude of diverse, flawed standards that men seeking to uphold them have called the international law of a diverse world? By the grace of the Most High, the absolute will of the One. Think about it. The early church knew to look forward to the absolute will of One. The grace of the Most High, then, is he grant you intelligence or discretion to know to seek beyond all these diverse, irrational insanities that men, for a lack of knowledge, have sought to exalt. The grace of the Most High, the gift of the Most High that comes from the One cannot be unto a multitude of plurality. What did he say? Bear the burdens of the weak. You know you're among a multitude of folks who provoke the Most High in their lack of knowledge. That's what's also said over in Hebrews 3. Say, David, you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Hey, you need a lot of help if you're going to be healed. He's talking about the provocation of the wilderness. Hey, people being offered the opportunity to come out from the midst of this corruption. Corruption is the defiled ways of this world. Not being diligent and much enough as they should be. The scriptures give you an example. It said many folks' bones lay in the wilderness. What makes people think that they can disavow the preciousness of what the Most High offers and still yet be delivered? That's not what I see in these scriptures. The Most High sends the Spirit that will teach all things, no lie in it. The men will come to one accord. It is the duty of those who would teach, I repeat, yes, some patience, allowing the people a chance to grow. But it's also a duty on the part of the people that they must open their hearts and be diligent unto growth. And the early believers knew this they must do because they realized that they did not attain to wisdom beyond the controversies of the nations, that they too were damned, no matter what they may have said. You don't swear by the name of the Most High in association with any of the vanities or presumptuousness of man. The scripture says you not be found guiltless. If they were going to ever be found justified, righteous before the Most High, they knew that in their progression toward sanctification, their goal must be purified from every unclean thought, deed, and belief. Because they knew that when the King comes for the refreshing and restitution of all things, he will indeed, my brothers and sisters, his appearance and declaration of a covenant according to everything that was prophesied and written in advance, says that when he declared his word true to all that the Most High spoke by the mouth of the holy prophets since world began, whoever will not seek and seek to be diligent to hear and obey that word, that constant word of Messiah when he comes as the anointed one, yes, indeed, as the anointed prophet king, whoever will not hearken to his consummate testimony, I repeat, whoever will not hearken to his consummate testimony, Scripture says, be cut off from among the people, meaning they shall not inherit. I said, shall not inherit with those who have kept and not forgotten the promise of the Most High. And the promise of the Most High, my brothers and sisters, is always true to a word that is from the beginning. The word for word and the word for promise, when the Scripture says, in the beginning was the word, does not declare that the Most High has promised to uphold any word other than that which was initial from his mind. He didn't say to uphold any man's misinterpretation. I want you to understand something, my brothers and sisters. Believers yet immature and blinded by ruling status quo among the nations. When the gospel was going forth, I want you to tell me, by no means, I want you to understand they were by no means one. And if we will be true about it, Scripture says that the oneness of the faith, the oneness of the believers, will not occur until the times of restoration and restitution. And the believers were admonished to be utmost diligent for the fullness of the faith in preparation for the coming of the one who will bring refreshing and remembrance regarding all things, that their sins might be blotted out. What was meant by this? Think about it. Scripture said the Messiah, for a time, per se after his crucifixion, preached to the souls that were in the grave. But my brothers and sisters, under who did he preach? But those whose expectation, love, petition unto the Most High was always for the oneness of all who believe. Not those who exalted themselves, but those who look forward to that day when will come the righteous one, who will declare even all those things that men had not considered, that world, knowing reproof of the unrighteous and accepting what is fully righteousness, might be won. I want you to understand, the Scripture says, it tells people to prepare for the day of the coming of that righteousness, that their sins, I hope you catch on to what I'm telling you. The other Scriptures supposed to talk about this. Their sins might be blotted out like a thick mist. Some of you may have caught that, because you know the prophecies perhaps in Isaiah 44. The iniquities might be blotted out like a thick mist. In other words, get the point. What has clouded man's vision might be cast aside by figuratively, if you will, the scorching heat of the sun. To cast aside the mist, to cast aside the clouds, whatever has been an obstacle against men's vision, that they might be true to the light and the will of one. Well, I would have you to understand, my brothers and sisters, that that gift is only to the most diligently humble soul that has not forgotten the faith, has not forgotten the promise, that knows that it is but one standard by which all shall be judged. I didn't say men were going to be called true to the will of one after 45,000 denominations. That's not the gospel. That's not the promise. That's not the hope. And if your leaders didn't tell you to look beyond them and ask the Most High for more, to perceive beyond the frailties of short-sighted conscience. Hey, that's exactly what Paul was talking about, for instance, in Galatians. He said he considered all that he thought that he thought was wise after the short sightings of those who taught him. He said, consider it all dross for the sake of abundant knowledge. The abundant knowledge, the exceeding knowledge that would come in the Messiah. Well, if your leader didn't tell you that you should do that, not being so quickly certain that you are wise according to the institutions that tell you to come on in here. These varied institutions that call themselves churches. If they didn't tell you, the Messiah is going to prove them all. And that they themselves are terminal institutions. They should have prepared you for the one unto whom the gathering of the people shall be. If they didn't prepare you for that, my brothers and sisters, they never taught you the gospel. Like I said before, they have not seen it to their personal advantage. They teach you about the one called Shiloh, the one who will reprove them all for their treachery and their wickedness, their lawlessness, their short-sightedness, their blindness that they claim was spiritual. That men might finally be converted from this foolishness that men have called wise. What did the Apostle Shaul say? Consider yourself wise after this world. Consider himself a fool. They may become wise. If you consider yourself wise after a multitude of worldly contentions, realize that somebody has deceived you. He said, let men not, therefore not consider themselves so wise before the time. Till Messiah comes and reveals the hidden things that men have not considered. And then every man shall know how to praise Yah, because until then, my brothers and sisters, he was telling them that the possibility that men might not be just so right in everything that they thought was wise. Messiah comes to discern the thoughts and intents of every heart by an exceeding word that is pure and complete, to see if man's diligence, or for that matter, the foundations of a man's reasoning, have been true unto the purposes of Yah. They tell you, my brothers and sisters, that you should be diligent beyond all else for that assurance? Or did they compel you to believe even when they said, study to show yourself approved? And they taught you to think within the constraints of their irrationality. What did they do? Until we are consecrated, my brothers and sisters, under the admonishment, reproof, the diligence, and discipline of one judge, we are not saved. Meaning that there are alternate pollutions intrusive among us. For they will be delivered from the prison houses that are the nations that will never tell you the whole truth. They will be delivered from those prison houses, my brother and sisters. No, they must transcend every cage, lest they be found falling short of the faith. There's a reason why the scripture said, Messiah will come saying, Spirit of Yah is upon me to preach good tidings, the gospel unto the meek. Those who want to consider themselves wise according to standards where they've never yet met the test, my brothers and sisters, compel men to be easily and gullibly left unstable, never to be firm in the true and living word, that rather than delivered, they be exploited. For the scriptures have told us that he will shake all things by his word to only that which cannot be shaken, that which is firm in his will shall remain. And those not having this expectation have not known the faithful expectation and that was in the minds of the early church. But these were people who understood that the perseverance and preservation of the faith, their first preoccupation was the hope of a holy kingdom, even if they themselves fell short. If they said shalom to one another, it was for the peace that must come to bear in this world. I didn't say according to their own conscience, but according to that which the Most High reveals. And if they did not have a drive to compel one another to exceed ordinary conscience, it was not the faith at all. For it is the will of Yah that should be first and foremost in the mind. And if that's not first and foremost in the mind, I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, one vow unto the holy name is vain. Please understand it. I can only tell you that, I can tell you about a lot of things that I could tell you about with regard to how the Most High would, I could tell you about a lot of things about how at times the Most High would put you in a situation in your dreams. Hey, dreams and visions, they put you in a place where let me tell you something. The only way you get out of that situation is it becomes quite evident that your desire for the consecration of His kingdom and peace is far more important to you even than your very own soul. That you are willing to accept His judgment in all things, no matter what. I can only tell you, I know when Most High called me aside, I didn't even realize He was offering me what He has. I just simply said, whoever is worthy, just let me help whoever it is. That whoever is worthy might attain the gift, might attain the reward. And I was told directly in response to that, if you can say what you just said and mean what you said like you said it, with the intent in your heart after which you said it, you said, my son is going to be all right. Like I said, that's the kind of thing that will stick with you. Don't forget things like that. Because I said at the time that he was really on me pretty heavy, showing me about all the infirmity of what had been my thought for so long after the insanity that this world would seek to impress upon you from the day you get here. Well, enough of that for right now. I got a lot of things I want to talk about tonight. I regret to tell you that though we have only so much time, I've only really gotten through the first maybe 5 sentences of my notes, things that were impressed upon me today, and I probably got a good 5 typewritten pages in small font looking in front of me. They haven't even begun the touching of these things for the magnitude of what's there. So let me move on. Look like I got about 30 minutes left. Got to push on with it. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, whoever forgets the Messiah is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, declaring an eternal rule that is indeed an absolute from beginning to end. These are they, my brothers and sisters, can believe that all the diverse rulerships that come in between, claiming to be representative, but not true to that expectation. These are they, my brothers and sisters, can easily be deceived by the inconsistencies of man. Like I said before, your popes, your pastors, your rabbis, your elders, who did not compel the people to look forward to the day when all Israel must be one. If they didn't impress how strongly important it is to look for the appearance of the one called the Kurdi, the righteous one, as indeed the Mashiach. Brothers and sisters, they didn't teach you the faith at all. If they didn't teach you the expectation of great reproof in that day, they didn't teach you the hope of the kingdom at all. Or dare men say that without a standard, there should yet be peace? What are them who refuse to realize validity of the wisdom, my brothers and sisters, that only by the Spirit will any man discern? Whoever does not have the expectation of one judge, thus exalting their idols, shall see their scripture. The scripture says, as an iniquity, because they refuse to hearken to the counsel of the Most High. In Isaiah 30, it speaks of this. So see this iniquity as the breaking of a potter's vessel, the breaking of a high wall, like a high wall whose falling comes suddenly at an instant. Why? Because under so many misrulers, they did not keep and preserve the expectation of the awaited one who themselves, awaited one who himself will suddenly come to approve them all. The scriptures even tell you in the book of Malachi and many other scriptures that in his appearing, though the people said they were looking for him, he would come suddenly and unexpectedly in a way that they did not, did not prepare for. Who will understand in this time, my brothers and sisters? If he knew what to prepare for, if he knew entirely what to prepare for, why did the scriptures say that his word would test and discern the thoughts and intents of every heart? Scripture say he would lead the people by a way that they had not known. None would be able to exalt himself. He said the way of peace that men had not known, transgressing and lying against the Most High. Who would be able then to exalt himself after what he thought was wise? Remember what I told you before, the Most High told me, anything that's in my head worth anything, it is he who had to give it. I'm going to tell you, my brothers and sisters, only the Most High, who himself is the utmost Savior, can bring forth a Savior. You need to understand this with everything that is in you. The institutions that men declare. Did the Most High make mention of their name to bring all Israel back to him and to be the light that would be the salvation of the world? I don't see a single one, my brothers and sisters. Not one. Do you think about that? Many refuse to realize the wisdom of the fact that their carnality does not grasp the greater wisdom of Yah. In their pride, they refuse to realize, my brothers and sisters, that mere carnal eyes and ears, let alone the carnality of their rulers, none of these are sufficient unto discerning what the Most High himself must reveal by the power and capacity only he can give. But my many refuse to acknowledge that they need a whole lot of help. My brothers and sisters will remain prideful, never to understand. I'm going to tell you something. Utmost blessed, though some may say it is hard, utmost blessed are they. I pray you will hear me. Utmost blessed are they that the Most High makes constantly aware of their need for him. Do I need to repeat that? Blessed are they whom the Most High keeps constantly aware of their need for him. Many are they who wind up trusting in worldly institutionality. Worldly institutionality, the praise they get from men, the esteem they get from men. Well, my brothers and sisters, those who seek the praise of men, when they realize that they must be deposed, that the leaders themselves must be deposed, that all recognize the will of one. My brothers and sisters, what worth would there be seen in trusting in the obstacles the Most High has forsworn he must remove? A lot to wake up to, my brothers and sisters. Leaders of the blind, preferring that the people remain blind, that they can be leaders. Making men devils twice worse than themselves, because oftentimes the people don't understand just how treacherously deceived their rulers are and the doctrine that they have believed. So they're getting my point, my brothers and sisters. Walk around after mass hysteria, totally, completely irrational, having no shame for the wickedness they have believed. Our brothers and sisters, men like this can be left extremely brutish. Messiah reproved the leaders for those sentiments. Indeed, he did. What do you think, my brothers and sisters, would be the fate of those who function after such insanity? I've had a lot of pastors tell me point blank, hey, don't you know it's not about what the Bible says for them? They said, don't you know that they're learning a profession? I've talked to them about certain truths that need to be preached in the congregations. And they said to me such things as, did you get me? Don't take that one away from us here. In other words, there's certain lies they've used to extort from the pockets of the people. All kinds of wealth. But knowing that these words were lies but appealed to the people, they said, don't take those away from us, Ed. What do you think they were really saying? Don't liberate the people. Don't stop the cash flow. Shame, my brothers and sisters. You really need to understand what you're dealing with. I'll tell you something. Divisions exist carelessly among us because men have forgotten the faith. And the faith, my brothers and sisters, never promised anything to a multitude of divisions to keep the people from being one in the will of one. Divisions exist carelessly among us because men have forgotten the faith, yet immature, are people self-satisfied, flattered into self-satisfaction, under many diverse rulers, are being exploited and imprisoned because the rulers refuse to teach them to discern the true hope of the one called Shiloh, the one unto whom the nations, all the peoples, shall gather. Hey, they want to keep you imprisoned under them as if there was nothing greater to search after. Nothing in exceeding righteousness beyond themselves to expect. Have the rulers desired, my brothers and sisters, or have they despised then the coming of him unto whom the gathering of the people shall be, that peace be glorified in the earth? Have they loved the coming of the Messiah at all? Isaiah 49 speaks of the one whom the scriptures say will come forth to deliver, saying, listen to me, O Isles, talk to me, O you nations. The Most High has called me from the womb and from the body of my mother. Has he made mention of my name? In the shadow of his hand has he concealed me? Hey, to deliver Israel and deliver the nations. Scripture says he's hated and despised by the kings. It means they want rulership over you, even if it means the damnation of many souls. Many have looked at these people and called them their leaders as if they were deliverers. I'm going to tell you right now, they won't be able to save themselves from the wrath of the king. He said, your righteousness must exceed theirs, else you shall not enter the kingdom of Yah. Your wrath must exceed theirs, else you shall not escape the wrath that befalls them. Have they told you, my brothers and sisters, how much more truth you need to understand in order to be called true to the faith? There's so much the Most High knows that he would have revealed to his people if they had been diligent to the degree they should have been, if they'd understood that the gospel is a pure, perfect word that offers one choice, if they knew that the Most High would not be destabilized by the misconceits of man. My brothers and sisters, what did I tell you the Most High told me directly? If I can believe these contentions in the world, these contradictions in the world are a work of his spirit, I cannot be a disciple unto him. My brothers and sisters, if men refuse to realize there's a need to attain to all that the scriptures call the refreshing of all things, to prepare for the exceeding word that they have not considered, if men have not understood that those who are not prepared to realize how much has been forgotten, that they may begin to prepare themselves to recover all that must be remembered. The scripture says, whoever is not prepared for this, my brothers and sisters, will be cut off from among the people. Meaning, my brothers and sisters, it is because it was easy for men to be beguiled, never to know what it is truly to seek the faith. Never to know what it means when Yah says he is one. It means, my brothers and sisters, that men have sworn themselves never to look for an absolution. They swore themselves unto constant contention and confusion. Not all have preached the gospel. Not all have preached what will end the confusion or the expectation of the will. There's a reason why. I'm telling you, the Most High told me directly. I must tell you things. The men have done everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide and not pervert, silence, and destroy. It's all about a remembrance. There's a website of mine that has so much of these truths that the scripture saying advanced rules will not tell. There. Will you be diligent, my brothers and sisters? Will you be diligent enough to seek to understand these things and humble enough to ask the Most High to help you to comprehend beyond the faulty foundations that so long have ensnared the minds? I've had some point blank to ask me, and I'm willing to try to help. Do whatever I can help to assist the Spirit of the Most High to help them be healed. Some who have told me, yes, they realize that for a long time they've been taught by an infamously, notoriously wicked system. It's taught only lies, half-truths. I didn't say the whole truth. Always telling a word that has been tainted and perverted. But my brothers and sisters, the scripture says the truth will set you free. Besides, so said, if you're my disciples, you know the truth will set you free. You know the word that does not vacillate. And you're free from those who hid the truth from you and taught you a perversion that has remained an obstacle to your understanding. I pray that those who have that kind of heart, my brothers and sisters, will indeed attain. For the Most High deserves of his people no less. If men have retained and known the gospel, my brothers and sisters, why? Since the apostle said any other so-called word that men call the gospel is a curse, why then do men vehemently strive to retain and preserve these deceptive robber divisions? It's not the gospel. It's not salvation. It's not oneness. It's a multitude of curses and divisions. That's what the word curse means. How do people walk after a multitude of curses and expect to be blessed? Pure and completion offers one choice. The Apostle Shaul said, oh, hey, what he had before, being partial perception. I tell you how the Most High told me, having the word but not knowing what is meant by it is to miss the point. He called it all dross. He said, therefore, if any man preach any other gospel, any other word, as if it were true to the initial intent, it's a curse. He admonished. Yes. I want you to think about it. The apostle they called Kepha. We call Peter, Kepha. Apostle was called Jacob, called James. I want you to understand something. If I go into this, it's going to require some concentration on the part of the people. I want you to understand something. There's a difference between, in some ways, the conditioning of those who dwelt in Jerusalem versus those who were being taught the faith among the Gentiles. I want you to understand something. A lot of the infirmities that were common among the Gentiles were not so common among Jews. In fact, the lack of discipline that a lot of Jews saw among the Gentiles, they considered it absolutely brutish, beastly. But those same infirmities that we're talking about, paganism of the nations, were everywhere among the Gentiles. So much so that very often in Jerusalem, and you need to understand this, in the early church, yes, it was also Gentiles that came to the synagogues. But In Acts 15, it talks about that there might not be contention between the Jews and the Gentiles among the converts, those who are converting. That there might not be contentions, dissensions among them. That they first tell them, say, look, don't bring any of your fornication, which was common in the feasts and the so-called holidays of the pagans. Don't bring any of your animal strangle. In other words, don't bring any of your oak uncautioned meat to the feast. Let that first be done. Because let me tell you something. Among Jews and those who ran the synagogue, such ideas as this would have considered an absolute, total, blasphemous desecration of the faith. But things like this, people do it, call them holy days. Holidays. Everything they do from the beginning, from floor up, the time that they do it, what they do in it, everything about it is pagan. And don't realize any shame. Well, understand, righteous indignation has its place. But being that the well-trained Jew, Apostle Shaul talked about that too in the second chapter of Romans. You're supposed to be among those who have enough discernment, he said, to be a light to others. He admonished them still to remember that there's still one judge in Romans 14. That they must count themselves blessed. They must count themselves blessed for a call from the Most High, an opportunity to see the truth. They must be willing to show that truth to others, but never wavering in their reasoning, because the Most High will send Messiah, and by no means to waver. In that day when he appears, my brothers and sisters, it will be for the recovery of those who have indeed been diligent, that it might be possible to recover a people quickly unto the will of one. But hey, even with all the varied forms of prideful abominations that exist among people who call themselves Hebrews today, do you think everyone, my brothers and sisters, is going to be prepared for that? There are a lot of folks who call themselves Hebrews that don't even believe the Messiah will come to reconcile all them who say they believe. They believe that he's going to come after the ideals they have already taught. Scripture says a whole lot of things the leaders wouldn't teach. And therefore, I've even had one so-called Hebrew Israelite, tell me. I told him about the city of destruction scriptures. Started telling him about the idea of who Messiah said he is. And he asked me the question, showing just how much of a mental midget and an imbecile and how far from the faith he is. He asked me and then asked us to leave when I even mentioned it. He asked me, even though I pointed to him where the scriptures are that he can discern these things, this fool asked me, what does that have to do with his salvation? I had already quoted to him the scripture that the Messiah comes to declare to mankind all that the Most High has spoken through the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. The world will not hearken that prophet and be cut off from among the people. And he still asked me, what does that have to do with his salvation? These are men who want to call themselves rulers over you. It means, my brothers and sisters, that the Most High spoke to it but through his prophets. It was an important word. And not to be aware of these things or prepare in line with these things is simply, my brothers and sisters, not to be prepared for him who reproves after the reckoning of all that. I hope you understand me. That yes, he spoke by his spirit through all the prophets. Think about what I mean by this. First Kepha, Peter. 1:10-11 say all the prophets spoke by the spirit of Messiah that was in them. Heaven help us. After it seems amazing that I have to keep repeating these things over and over again, and there's so much more that needs to be related relative to this fundamental, still yet fundamental knowledge. There's a lot of deeper things I'd love to be able to speak about. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, if men have retained the gospel, why do they, I still say this, why do they vehemently work to maintain and preserve these deceptive rival divisions? The scripture says, now that faith has come, you have no need of these schoolmasters who have divided you. You ever stop to consider, my brothers and sisters? Men feel that there's a need for these. What? To assure that they don't come to the one faith? I think it's shameful. Who do these pastors serve as then, my brothers and sisters, in preserving all these stagnations that they flatter? But them who know not and truly haven't believed the hope of the promise, who refuse to seek fully the hope of the faith. Abraham believed that in seeking the perfect word, a people would be blessed and made one. How is it men believed, have believed that after an imperfect standard that have created so many contentions, that a people will be healed under the will of one? No, my brothers and sisters, it doesn't even equate. Such insanity will never be found worthy for one to be called or confirmed a king or a priest in the kingdom of Yah. Because such contentions, my brothers and sisters, will never be an atonement, never be an atonement. So many who call themselves believers are not self-perfection because they have believed the Messiah will find confusion acceptable. Remember I talked to you a little bit earlier about what Galatians has to say, where the Apostle Shaul is reprimanding Kepha, not only Kepha, Peter, but also Yaakov. Because, yes, there were a lot of contentions against the infirmities of the Gentiles in Jerusalem. They were in an environment that automatically recognized, at least at a fundamental level, that a lot of things that the Gentiles would have brought in were completely unacceptable in the temple of the Most High. But among the Gentiles, my brothers and sisters, a lot of folks are walking around without this conscience. And if they were going to teach the Gentiles, they could not, let's just say, be so quick to withdraw from the patience they were required to have in order to teach. Shaul talked about Kepha having, been among the Gentiles, Shabbat, keeping the Shabbat, feasting and Shabbating, if you will, among the Gentiles. Desires that men understand the fullness. Do you think that the scribes, the Pharisees and Sadducees were concerned about the Gentiles awakening? Think again. Even Kepha himself being a man from the house of Israel, raised in Judea, when he first saw the scroll rolled down with all manner of four-footed beasts, and he was told, "Rise, Peter, Kepha, slay and eat." First thing he says, "No unclean thing has I partaken into my mouth per se." And he, most I had to reprove him, saying, "Call nothing that I have called clean unclean." And those who understand the truth mean know that that was a vision, because a Gentile named Cornelius was looking forward to a teacher. Can the teacher despise a student and teach? Can a teacher despise the student and expect the student to become completely trusting unto discerning? I tell you, my brothers and sisters, the apostles, even though they knew that one day their trust and desire for the nation to awaken would cause them to meet a murderous fate, they still went forward to preach because they had consecrated themselves. One scripture says, as martyria, were there means witnesses who endangered their very lives for the hope of the gospel, that the nation might have a chance to awaken. Shaul was reproving Kepha for when men from Judea came to Galatia. He sought to separate himself after what was common to what had been rabbinical authority in Judea, because actually there had been a law that says that basically Jews should not, if you will, associate with the Gentiles. Now, brothers and sisters, but the gospel says the God, the word had to go forth to all nations. And because Israel had fallen short of the glory, the gospel will go forth to all nations. That all might have an opportunity to perceive the truth. The Messiah gave his life to the world might have peace. And that means that all are ultimately at that point, my brothers and sisters, inclusive in the Shema. Messiah said, the greatest command of all is, Hear, O Israel, Yah, Ah, Yah is one. We must love our neighbors ourselves. My brothers and sisters, all, whether Jew or Gentile, that came to the faith, knowing that the expectation of the will of one, must all, my brothers and sisters, have that kind of perseverance and desire, that all who would understand might be granted opportunity to do so. But how many understood what the Apostle Shaul was reproving? He was reproving them by maintaining the sentimentalities of those who, quite frankly, were not willing to see the gospel go forth in the purity that it is. And what I mean, my brothers and sisters, is this. The gospel is a pure word after the will of one. Pharisees, Sadducees, Zealots, Essenes. How about Caesareans? Gentiles of all nature. Remember that in 1 Corinthians, the apostle warned against men calling themselves of the faith, but still catering to their flesh. The apostle Shaul was warning those who said they believed against falling to any kind of pluralist system, whether Jew or Gentile. But how many really understand what was being reproved? He said, what do you think he meant when he said later, you're henceforth? He said, some texts say neither Jew nor Greek. Some texts say neither Jew nor Aramean. Meaning that the very standards of this world should be an obstacle to none of those who belong 90 seconds. To him who is to judge all. Who will understand it in this time? I'm amazed, my brothers and sisters. So much more is still to be talked about. I go into this, I'm looking at all this stuff that I begin just after this, and if I were to begin to speak about it, it would take perhaps hours for a lot of folks to, as you say, even though they need to petition the Most High, to give them dexterity to be able to understand beyond the barriers that exist among us. Let me just simply say this. They who have the expectation of hope for the love and pursuit of the truth, these are these, my brothers and sisters, who have all their sins and all their misallegiances, all their transgressions. They're being found unworthy due to their multitude of misallegiances blotted out, because they will prove in a great diligence for the truth that they always saw what is greater. These are the ones we call faithful. That when the times of refreshing come, yes, my brothers and sisters, they should be found worthy. They have been called the disciples of the one. Pride, my brothers and sisters, will deliver no one. To his mild, to his majesty, to his praise always, my brothers and sisters. I thank the Most High for every year that he brings near. Hallelujah! thank you all again for listening. Keep tuned, my brothers and sisters. Lots still that needs desperately to be talked about.
You got the words to change a nation, but you're biting your tongue. You spent a lifetime stuck in silence, afraid you'll say something wrong. If no one ever hears it, how we gonna learn your song? So come on, come on, come on, come on. You got a heart as loud as lions, so why let your voice be tamed? Maybe we're a little different, there's no need to be ashamed. You got the light to fight the shadow, so stop hiding it away. Come on, come on.
Help us, Father. We need your help.